Hey, it's good to be with you. It's been a while since we've seen each other in this capacity, I would say. And here we are for a youth Bible study. And I would like to begin with a question. You will hear the question and think about the question for a moment. And certainly welcome to everyone, the youth in front of me, but also those listening in on the live stream. But the question is, what is one of the greatest needs for a young person entering into adulthood? What would you think? You would say, wow, that's a big question. That's a little bit of a heavy question, a big loaded question. There's a lot to this question. So certainly I can agree, and I knew when I started to think about this question and this message with purpose, had that question in mind. So we're going to offset this question with one that's a little bit more lighthearted, and then we're going to connect the two with each other. So this one is a single three-letter word, and a word that for many parents led to countless hilarious moments of curiosity of a little toddler waddling around in the house or in the garden. But it led to an endless chain of questions. And at other times, parents can be left with a quiet bemusement as this question is repeated over and over and over and over again. A three-letter word. Do you have it in your mind? The one that all little ones, and if have a teacher, I'm sure teachers will attest to the fact that even little ones, not just at home but at school, they will ask this question. And what is the question? Three-letter word, and that is why. Why this? Why that? Why do you make food? Why do we eat food? Why do you go to work? Why do you mow the lawn? Why do you go to the restroom or the potty, as some would say? Why? That's what little ones, toddlers will ask. And I'm sure you did when you were young, and I'm sure maybe I forget that, but I certainly asked those questions to my parents, but they all started with the same three-letter word, why. Now let's go back to the question that we asked initially. What is one of the greatest needs for a young person entering into adulthood? The answer is very much the same. You need a clear sense of purpose. You need the why. To prepare for adulthood, you need that purpose, that why in your life. Now, I have the latest edition of the Ambassador Youth magazine here right in my hand, and some of you might have received it already. Some of you have seen it a little bit. I'm turning here to the very first page. There's an article to prepare us for Ambassador Youth Camp as we begin to plan and think about Ambassador Youth Camp. The very first article, and you see there a young man. Some of you might know who that is. Looking like Tarzan, swinging on a rope. If you are not too close, you might think he's doing it without a rope, but I can see he has a rope on. He has a helmet on and a harness, so he's enjoying himself. But the title of the article is "The Best Camp Experience Starts Before Day One." And I would like to encourage everyone, volunteers and campers, to go and read this article. But in the article, as you read it there, it begins at one point with the four P's of getting ready. I'm not going to let the cat out of the bag, but one of the P's is purpose. The very first one is purpose, and you're going to read a little bit about purpose and the other three P's, but I want to focus just on that one this evening. Having a purpose, the need to know why. So every magazine, this one, all the articles in that magazine, if you look at the Pillar magazine, if you look at the Real Truth magazine, every sermon, every sermonette, every lecture, every Bible study have a purpose. Even this message, this Bible study tonight, have a purpose. So tonight we are going to study your purpose, God's why for your life and for AYC. So let's jump into the first point that I would like to cover this evening, and that is God is a God of purpose. We started with a big, heavy, loaded question, and I would like to start with something that is more a higher picture, bigger picture, just topic or main point here this evening as well. God is a God of purpose. Nothing that he does without having a purpose. He does nothing randomly, aimlessly. He always have a plan. So let's turn to Isaiah 46. We're going to go. Everything he does. And I was thinking about what verse would help us the best when you think about God's why. He has a why. He has a purpose. He has a why. I'm going to read, and you read with me in Isaiah 46, everyone. And we pick up in verse 10. Just that one verse there, we can begin just reading verse 9, but we're going to focus on verse 10. If you are there, I am there in Isaiah 46, verse 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. God repeats in this verse 9 who he is. I'm God, and there is none like me. No one. If there were other gods, God says, they are nothing. I am God. If there were people that were thinking that they were something, God says, I'm greater than anyone and everything. I am God. There's none like me. So what is on his mind when we read verse 10? Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times. When you and I think about ancient times, it's way, way, way back. When you open a history book, you begin to see these funny drawings and they say, okay, that happened anciently. So that's way, way back. God says, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsels shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. So let's look a little bit at this word there. God has the boldness to say, I declare, I announce. What does he announce? He says, the end from the beginning. What does that mean? God has the ability to stand before he does anything. He can stand at the beginning and he can look down the road and he can see the end and he can say, it will happen the way that I have planned it. It means he has a purpose. When you read the word, their counsel and pleasure, both of them have an element of purpose or plan. The why. God has a why even before something happens. Before we start to act on anything, he says, I want to first find out the why. I want to work on the why. I want to know why. I have a purpose in place. Now, for you and me, we are a little bit different as human beings. Think about yourself. You have an examination coming up. Let's say a two-week examination coming, and there are different subjects that you have to finish. You don't see the whole 2 weeks right in front of you. Tomorrow is the first day and you write biology. Let's say that's the first day of the 2 weeks. But at the end of the 2 weeks is math. Now you're going to think about what tonight when you study? You're going to think about biology. Math is out of your picture. Yes, you've gone through the math and you went to the classes throughout the semester or the quarter, but that's not really on your mind. The beginning is right in front of you. The beginning of your examination is your biology examination in front of you. But math is not, it's there far 2 weeks ahead of you. God says, no, when I do something, my counsel stands. God says my purpose stands from the beginning. He doesn't get to the end point and then suddenly realize what he's done. He knows everything that he will do even before he started. And that's very important for you and me, everyone. He determines his purpose, his why, from the start. And you and I should do exactly the same. God knows the purpose of everything from the beginning. Now think about what did mom and dad do when you've done something wrong and you needed to get a little hiding. What did dad or mom say in the beginning? They gave you the why before they acted. They told you why, what did you do wrong before they gave you that hiding. Most likely none of you are getting hidings anymore. You are at that age where we think about going into adulthood. But you will think back, I think back on my days as well as a youngster. But there, even in that, there was a why. Before mom or dad acted, they told you why. Now let's define a purpose. It's very simple. It's not just what you do, but why you do it. Very, very simple. It's simple to understand for everyone, but it's so important. God understands the power of purpose. And he has a purpose for everything, and that includes you. You're not out of that picture. You are part of what he planned. You're not here. This is the second point that I would like to make. You're not here just by random act. God threw a dice, or he specifically just thought about, all right, what am I going to do? Oh, and then suddenly, by random, by accident, you are here in God's church. You are here for a purpose. So let's turn to Proverbs 19. You are here for a why. We understand, everyone, as we speak to you a little bit more as we go on tonight. Please turn with me to Proverbs 19, speaking about a little bit more about camp. And we said in the purpose of this message, we're going to talk about it. But I understand and know that not everyone can go to camp. Not everyone has the opportunity. That's why I'm not just speaking about camp, but life in itself as well. Your life, your life's purpose as well. So as you are then, chapter 19, I'm going to read verse 21. Speaking about counsel again in verse 20, but here in verse 21 it says, there are many devices in a man's heart. That word there means there's a lot of plans. You have a lot of plans. I want to do this, and I want to do that, and I plan for this, and I plan for that. There's a lot of plans, many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord shall stand. We just read that before in Isaiah. God's plan, God's purpose ultimately will stand. Now, God's purpose stands when he plans. We saw that in Isaiah. And when we plan, everyone, God's purpose shall stand as well. So he made you a free moral agent. You have plans. That's good. God wants you to plan. Let's turn to make a connection here between God's purpose and your purpose. Let's go a couple of chapters back. Chapter 16. God has a purpose. You have a lot of plans, and we are talking about your plans, the whys behind your plans, behind your purpose. And we see here in chapter 16 and verse 9, again thinking about the plans that we make, a man's heart devises his way. You plan the way, you think about the why, the purpose in your life, but it says, but the Lord directs his steps. So he allows you to make your own plans. He allows me to make my own plans. He wants us to do that. He made us that way that we can do that. And we get excited about the plans of life, small and bigger plans that we have. We don't speak about specific plans. We are speaking more just in general about plans and purposes. But God says he directs your steps. So he doesn't say he force you to go in a certain direction. He says he allows you to make plans, but he wants to be part of that process. He wants to direct you in the direction that you should go. He knows when he stands at the beginning of anything he does, he knows and he can see the direction where he wants to go. He wants you to plan and purpose, and he wants to help you to get to your goal. He wants to help you to get to the place where you want to go. He can see his plan right from the beginning unto the end, but you and I are a little bit different. We need direction. We need help. And to do that, he says, have a plan. Know the purpose. Know the why before you begin. As you plan and purpose, know the why. Know the reason why you do anything. Don't just do anything. Know the reason why. Again, why are you here? We said it's not by chance. Just like a baby grows, and that was something that was always and still is very special to think about how a baby grows in the mother's womb. That was something to see with my own children. When you go and do the ultrasound, that's exciting to see the little one 3 weeks, and then they say it's 6 weeks, and later on they can see if it's a boy or a girl, and so they develop in a mother's womb. You are here in God's church. God placed you here for a specific purpose. You are here to grow, just like a little baby growing in a mother's womb. We are here to grow, to develop. And ultimately, that's our big goal, is to be, we are part of God's family now, but we want to be part of the family of God. That's our big goal. We must know why. Why am I here? Understand that why. That's the big picture. But while you progress towards that, there are certain areas that God wants to help you with your why. He wants you to clearly understand who you are becoming. You're not on your own. You don't see the end like he does. Like we said, when you go to your math class, your math examination, or looking from biology to math, that two-week extension, you don't know, you don't see everything the way he can see. He can see the end from the beginning, because he knows what he is doing. And he wants you to learn that same characteristic by knowing the why. Something that's very simple. Think about what might God be preparing for you. A few years ago, I wouldn't have thought I would be sitting in front of you and be able to give a Bible study. I didn't see that. You were doing things years before, but God directed your steps. He directed my steps. You are sitting in front of me now. A few years ago, maybe you didn't even know that you would be here, given the opportunity, not just being in God's church, but also to attend camp. Think about a few years ago when you were younger. Think ahead. What is he planning for you? What is he developing in you right now? Why is he doing that? What is he doing? Ambassador Youth Camp, AYC, is part of God's process. It's part of God's process to help you to understand your why, not just for camp, but for life in general as well. So why does AYC matters? Why does camp matters? We talk about the why. This is more something about a shared purpose. We talked about God's doing his his thinking, his mind. He does nothing without planning, without purpose. We looked at why you are here, just basic things that we are going over. Now we think about why does AYC matters? AYC is more than just a two-week event. It's an environment that God uses to shape you. And knowing the why, you can go to camp without knowing your why. You can have a lot of fun at camp with all the activities that you do. You can enjoy camp. You don't need necessarily to know that why. But when you know your why, when you have figured that out beforehand, your camp will be more meaningful. You will have a clearer direction. It will help you to be motivated more for every activity that you're going to have. You're going to enjoy it more because you know in advance, you have thought about it, you have meditated in advance why I need to go, why I need to be there. Again, as I said, you will have a meaningful camp without that, but it will be more meaningful to you when you know and think about it. And that's why it's good for us to think about this, the why before camp starts, that we have enough time, if we get to camp, give ourselves enough time tonight to think about it at least. And if God allows time, that we can develop more, think about that more. The most exciting part for me, everyone, is that you are doing and thinking about that already. I looked at the applications we've received, several applications for camp already from volunteers and from campus. Each time I have a document, when you fill out the form, it sends me a note and I can go in and say, there's another application. It's a camper. It's a volunteer. It's a camper. It's a camper and volunteer. It's a couple of campers and a couple of volunteers. But there's a question in the application that ask, why would you like to attend AYC? Why would you like to do that? There's many, many answers, and I just pulled them together for you tonight in four categories. Just one where volunteers and teens would say, I would like to grow. What would you think? Is that a good reason to come to camp? That's a wonderful reason. That means you're thinking about it already. I want to grow. I want to learn. I want to develop skills. I want to develop life lessons. Those are good reasons to come to camp. Relationships, that's another one. I want to make new friends. I want to meet up with friends that I had in the past. Somebody said, I just want to be with others. Maybe it's somebody that do not have a youth in their congregation, or they have to stay in contact long distance. That's a great reason to come to camp. I want to serve. I want to develop in leadership. That's what some of you have written. I want to gain experience. I want to have fun. That's something that we're going to and had a lot of fun before. And as I can bring you a little bit into the workings, the back workings of preparing for camp, we have all these chat groups with different people. And when it comes to meetings at God's church and at headquarters, meetings have a certain decorum, so to speak. We laugh, we have fun. But when you come to the meetings for camp and the conversations about camp, I'll press a little bit more for fun in those things, just that we can laugh a little bit, make jokes in advance, that we can prepare ourselves to have fun and be ready to have fun at camp as well. We want to have that mindset. What about still under the experience group, I would say, category? I want to build memories. I want to try new things. Those are all great reasons, strong, good reasons why to attend AYC this year and any year that you've done before. But everyone will have their own reason. and that's good. But think about what is your reason. It can be just somebody just said, I want to have fun. That's a good reason. But think about the reason why you want to attend. The why. Me and all the staff involved want you to get the most out of AYC. I wrote down here, milk it for all what it's worth. You don't just want to have a little bit of milk. You want to have all of it. Milk it for all what it's worth. It's 2 weeks. You don't want to just to enjoy the one day and then just slide on for the next 13 days. You want to experience from the morning, each morning up to the evening, each evening, right throughout every day. You want to get the most out of camp. Now, purpose, just something as simple as the why will help you to have the most out of everything you do in life, but also at camp. Just having a purpose, having a reason, think in advance. God does it with everything he did. That was amazing when I read that verse, and he says he has boldness that he can declare that he can stand in the beginning what he does, his whole plan, and he can see the end. Just because his purpose stands, his plan, his why. Now, how will you get the most out of AYC? How will you get the most out of it? The first thing that I wrote down you on in Proverbs 16, we read verse 9. Let's read verse 3. A verse that you'll remember I've covered in several Bible studies. I like to repeat certain things. This one is important for us tonight as well, because let's read it together. Proverbs 16 verse 3. It says, commit your works unto the Lord and your thoughts shall be established. What does that mean? In the context of how to make the most out of camp. The first thing that you want to say, and I want to say, is to commit yourself to AYC. Commit to applying to AYC. If you are still thinking about coming to AYC, commit, make a commitment in advance. We are in that window to fill out our applications, to submit our applications. That's the first thing that I want to mention there, is just to commit your works. Commit by filling out that application. It will take a few minutes. Those of you that have done it, each year we try to streamline it a little bit better and make it easier to fill out. And I'm sure the only thing that will take you longer than any other question is the one to think about why. Why do you want to come to camp? The other ones are just quickly filling them out. But this verse says you might look at your current situation, where you are today, and the conditions doesn't look right for you, that you cannot commit yet. It feels like maybe there's something that's not favorable in my life yet. I cannot commit to camp, Mr. Filune, at this point. God says, don't worry about the things that's unfavorable or unclear in your mind. Everything shouldn't be perfect before you can commit. He says, begin to commit. This verse applies in everything that we do, not just for camp and doing something as simple as committing or filling out a form. It's everything that you do. Everything in your life doesn't have to be perfect before you begin to make those steps from the beginning unto the end, beginning to follow God's direction. You just need to commit your works, your actions unto him. And he says, later on, things will become clear as you begin to walk. He's the only one that can see the end from the beginning. We don't, but we begin to walk, and we do that by faith. While things are not always clear, things don't have to be perfect. Even in your mind, you might think it's too far to travel. What are the things that can hold some of us back? For us, here in the room, it's easy. It's just an hour away to get to camp. You jump in the van, you bring your bag and your sleeping bag, and there you go. But some of the youth that want to come to camp, those that are on the live stream, they have a long way to travel. I've never traveled through an airport. I've never been on an airplane. Or my parents are not sure about it. Those are things that can go through your mind. As we read in this verse, your thoughts are not established yet about coming to camp. That why is not so clear yet. There are still things, it's too long ahead before I can commit. I went before. This is something that might go into somebody's mind. I don't need to go again. Again, I would say, why? Why? What is your reason for that? I have already other plans. Or I'll go next year. Procrastinate a little bit and say, I'll go next year. Things are not perfect for me yet. I am not very outgoing. There's going to be a lot of people. I'm going to feel a little bit unsettled. My thoughts will be unsettled. I will not feel in my comfort zone. Everyone else seems more spiritual than me. That's a thought that maybe all of us get sometimes. Somebody might be growing in an area and you look and you see you're now in this situation, in this time where this verse says in this specific time, and you look, your thoughts are not established yet. It feels like that person is having it better than I am. They must be more spiritual than I am. So I'm not ready to be at camp yet. I still need to grow a little. No. God says commit. Commit to doing what he mentions in his word. And that's, again, we're not going to go into deeper aspects and plans that you're making, plans for life. We are looking just at this one specific one. None of these, the one that I wanted to mention, I don't lack camps. That might be more of the girls. Remember, we don't go into real tents. There are nice cabins at camp, but you might say, I don't really like camping. None of these are reasons not to attend. All of those reasons will go away once you've attended and committed to camp. Again, it doesn't have to be the conditions, situation, and even your thoughts, the fears that you have, those things, don't think they should go away before you commit. What do you need to do? Commit. Apply. Speak to your parents. If you are a volunteer or a camper, speak to your minister. Apply in advance. Take that leap of faith, so to speak. Someone might say, I'm the only one who does not know my purpose, my why for AYC yet. Don't worry about it. Do not let that keep you back. This message is not about or for those that have their purpose already. You might have it. I read some of you have that already. But there might be otherwise. There might be other reasons that you want to build on. The reason that you have already. This is to help you to see the importance about the why in your life. So, another way to make the camp experience the most profitable one, the best camp, so to speak, ever. Find your personal why first. That is as simple as that. Just focus on your why. When you arrive at camp, you might come with a lot of energy, a lot of questions. Maybe there's a little bit of confusion still. Okay, what are we going to do? How are we going to do that? Even that is fine. Those fears and confusion will go away after a couple of days. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Not knowing the specific reason why you're going right now, that's fine. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Don't worry about that. Think about this verse. Romans 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also, God's Spirit, helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, as we should, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, if God is willing to help you with something that is as simple as prayer, we know that's the basic of Christian growth. That's one of the tools that we use on a daily basis, to pray. If God says He knows that human beings need help with their infirmities, meaning that they don't know always even what to pray as we should. We know we should pray, but sometimes we simply do not know what to pray about. If He's willing to help us through His Spirit with that, will He not help you to find the why as well? The reason why, not just for camp, but the whys that you're asking about in life as well, He will certainly do that. The purpose, the why, is what is giving you direction. It's like a compass that will help you. Help you why you are there. Will help you with paying attention. When you are there, when you know your purpose, you will pay attention to certain things, little details. Certain things will not just fly over your head. Where you are headed. When you know your why, you will understand that. You will look at everything about camp and you will know why you are there. The why that you planned before will come to fruition while you are there. Things will make more sense. The activities, the messages, the conversations that you have with others, even the challenges, all connect to something bigger than just having fun. Again, as I mentioned, if you come to have fun, you will have fun. But if you think a little bit more deeper about the why in advance, your camp will be more meaningful. But think about it first. Just like God planned first before He acted. He didn't step out and do anything. He just found out the why. Camp becomes a place where you discover direction, not just at camp, direction in life. How many times have I heard when campers come back from home and they are excited to do this or they're excited to do that, that their studies, their work, their homework, things that they do at home, they are just more upbeat, uplifted. That's why you experience growth at camp. You begin to see where God is leading you. You've seen that direction because you knew why you went to camp. Ask yourself, what do I want to work on this year that can help you with finding your why? Finding it first. What skills or knowledge do I want to develop? You've done certain things. You know where you are. Again, as I mentioned, it's individual. Choose one or two personal goals. They don't have to be many goals. I've seen what I've done in many cases. Think about before the feast or before camp, I always try to write down a goal. And the fewer goals you have, you tend to reach those goals more and be more effective than having all these elaborate goals that you want to reach. But you want to build on them, choose one or two goals. If you are nervous about being in the water, make a goal. We're going to have fun. We always have fun on the canoes, in the water, or swimming in the water, in the lake. Think about those things, the things we've done last year. That will help you, again, to develop not just a new skill, but overcome something, overcome a fear as well. But if you think about that as a goal in advance, you will go to the canoe trip and say, when you push that canoe into the water, say, today I am going to overcome this fear that I have. I'm going to grow in this area because that was one of your goals. But if it's not, you might just jump in the canoe and okay, where are we going? You don't know the why. other questions that you can ask is, what does God want me to learn? How does this fit into His plan for my life? You look at the smaller cosmos, so to speak, the camp, but then you begin to see, okay, camp is only just 2 weeks. How does this or that fit into my life? Everyone, a direction give boundaries to freedom. Think about when God directs our steps. He made us free moral agents, but there are boundaries, aren't there? Now think about wild animals. We will all agree that wild animals are free. When you look at the lion in a cage at the zoo, they will walk around from one end to the next. Some of them become almost crazy just by doing that. You've seen leopards and bears. They just walk up and down, up and down. That they are in a cage. They are not free. An example would be, think about a lion. Now, lions are free, but there are boundaries. They do not live without boundaries. Those boundaries we call, and it's defined as their territory. Lions have a territory. They mark their territory. A male lion, they have about a territory of about 400 square miles. So that's 20 miles one direction. Perpendicular, you go another 20 miles. And if a male lion wants to go through his whole territory and see if everything is fine, there's no real fences. It's imaginary fence that he has, imaginary territory. But he walks about 80 miles just to patrol his area. I went and looked at it. That's about if you and I would walk from the campus to Lake Erie at Cleveland and back. That's what a male lion would do, but we would say that is his boundary. He's free to walk and live and thrive within his boundary, within his territory, but we say he's free. The same with you and me. That same principle applies at camp. What boundaries are at camp? They are designed to help you, teens, to understand your purpose, your why. Think about the schedule, the structure at camp, the rules, the expectations. All of those are boundaries. One of the volunteers mentioned to me recently, he said, I love the structure at AYC. The structure at AYC, the schedule that we have, all the boundaries that we set, the fact that we can, you know, from the morning when we're going to have breakfast, when we're going to go canoeing and hiking, all of those boundaries help you to think more about and live out and get the most out of camp because of your why. Each time you go from one section to the next, it's not just haphazard. We go from one and then to the next thing. All of that, the whole camp is structured in a way that you can develop and live out your why, your purpose, why you are there. And then that's why somebody can come back and say, I love the structure at camp because there's boundaries. Within those boundaries, you have freedom to grow, to develop as a young person. Those boundaries do not limit your freedom. They give you direction and they give you purpose. They will enhance your camp. Without boundaries, think about if you go to sleep one night at 10 o'clock, the other one at 3 o'clock, or then 1 o'clock and then 9 o'clock, you will not know what to expect the next day. Your life becomes haphazard. You do not understand. Your purpose is not clear for that day. But if you have a certain structure, your life become more purposeful and you can enjoy certain things more. That's a simple principle. We're going to teach that and you're going to live that for 2 weeks at camp. All right. Let's go to Hebrews 11. What is another thing that you can do to have the most beneficial most memorable camp, to milk everything out of camp that you can. Every benefit that you can. Hebrews 11 verse 5. It says, speaking about Enoch, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was found because God has translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. When you go to Genesis, it speaks about his dad. Look at the genealogy and you see Enoch, it speaks about his dad. Certainly he pleased his father. He was certainly pleasing to his father and his mother. But he had a goal in his life. We read about his record, his testimony. He had a proven record that he wanted to please God. That's one of the things why you go to camp and why you will have the most beneficial camp, is because you want to please God. And how do you do that? In advance. His life, Enoch's life, just as yours and mine can, everyone expressed an attitude through his, he expressed faith through an attitude that he had, the choices that he made, the obedience that he had. All those things showed God that he was pleasing to him. He was living a life to please God first. He had a pleasing attitude. He wanted to please his father in everything that he did, through obedience, through the choices that he made. Think about your attitude, everyone, as your approach for camp. Think about this for a moment. As I mentioned, this principle that Enoch had applied to us in what way? The gratitude and a willing attitude that you and I should have. Think about the congregations, parents that are sacrificing, congregations that are currently working behind the scenes to make campus, allow you to be at camp, to attend camp. They want you to succeed. If you have that grateful attitude that you have, but even make that a goal, to go even further with that, a willing attitude when you are asked to do something, willing to prepare, just willing to think about things in advance. They are giving you an opportunity. They are not going to camp. You are the ones that will have that opportunity to live out your purpose. That's an attitude of gratitude that we can have. If you think about them, what they are doing to please God in that way, they want you to be there. You are going to be pleasing to God. You're going to please the congregation. You're going to be pleasing to your parents when you have that type of attitude. I'm going to go to camp. I want to be there. Other people want me to be there. They are doing a hard work so that I can be there to learn, to grow, to be fully engaged. That's the thoughts that you have to have when, even before camp starts. That's part of your attitude. That's part of your purpose. That's part of your why. And that, when you do that, something as simple as that, that will honor those that made those sacrifices. So everything plays together, everyone, for you and me to have the most beneficial camp that we can have, by just simply focusing on something as elementary as a three-letter word, why. Everyone will be more pleased to see you grow, spiritually grow, not physically grow. I know we enjoy the food at camp. We run around and we do a lot of exercise, so I don't think we will physically grow. Maybe there's a couple of boys or girls that are the younger ones that in the 12, 13 years old, they typically grow. If you stand still for a while, you will see them grow, or you'll hear them grow at night. They go to the refrigerator and eat a lot of food, and then they grow, and then they are hungry again. There will be some of those. So some will physically grow, but we think about more spiritually growing, developing in character, and most make the most out of your AYC experience. Your attitude gives weight to your purpose. The attitude, the approach that you're going to have, something as simple as that will give weight to your purpose. Everyone, as we begin to conclude this Bible study, share this Bible study with your friends. We are speaking here tonight. Some other parts around globe are already sleeping and they might not know about the content of this Bible study. Share that with them. Contact your friends that you think that will benefit to be at camp, volunteers or campus included. Share that with them. Make them excited. Go and read the article. Go and listen to this Bible study. Go and fill, not just you, tell them to fill out their application so that they can benefit and have the most out of camp. We read, everyone, that God knows the end from the beginning because He has a purpose. Let's go to a final verse. Revelation chapter 4. This is the revelation, thinking about prophecy, speaking about the things that's going to still happen. Think about that, Isaiah, when God says He's looking at the end. Here in Revelation chapter 4, we pick up in verse 11, it says, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You have created all things." Go back to when God decided, before He did anything, He planned. Think about what He planned. He planned for you and me to be here, but everything that He planned, His whole plan, His whole creation is involved in that. You created all things. Nothing that He did was outside the purview of having a purpose. Let's read. "And for Your pleasure, they are and were created." Pleasure there means for Your plan, for Your purpose. So God can stand at the beginning and He can plan and purpose. And when He's going to get to the end, what's it going to give? What is He going to have? Pleasure. He could see from the beginning that at the end, He will have great pleasure, great joy, because of what you and me are doing. He knows what He can do. He knows we need help. He knows that you and I need direction, but He wants to help you to do the same thing, that you can rejoice, that you can be pleasing, that you can grow and develop in the person that He wanted you to be, and at the end, that you will also be pleasing to Him. Then He will rejoice. He will have pleasure. He knows already at the end there is going to be that, but you and I have that role to play. That's wonderful to think, everyone. God can see in advance the future, but He wants you and me to do the same by simply planning from the beginning. Planning your purpose, your why from the beginning. For His pleasure, you and I were created. Think about something as simple as camp. It has been created so that you and I can be there when you have fun. We look at this young man, I'll not say his name, I might be wrong. It is one of two twins. He has his helmet on, so we cannot know exactly identify him. He's not close enough as well. But he's enjoying himself. When you go through all the other pictures, there's quite a few pictures of several of you in here. Those youngsters are having fun. When you have fun, I'm sure God enjoys it as well. He made you. He's not just waiting for you to grow up and then will be pleasing and enjoying the fact that He created you and has a plan for you and a purpose for you. He created camp. Camp is not something that stands individually, just 2 weeks, that you stop your life and then go on again. There's a purpose for it. There's a reason for that. And that's why we talked tonight about the why. The why for you as you go to camp. Let's think back to where we started. I asked the question, what is one of the greatest needs that the young person, a person that is growing and developing into adulthood, what is the greatest needs that you have? That was a heavy, heavy question. But we could go and say, thinking about the little one, from a young age, God created into us young people to ask why. Sometimes parents enjoy the why. The first time that they hear that, they will, oh, my little one, and they answer the question. But when it comes to the 100th time that they answer the question why, it can get a little bit, all right, I've told you why several times before, but everyone, why is such a simple word, but it's so impactful. There is power in that, power in purpose. Getting to the end is not simply about arriving there. It's not just being on a journey and arriving there. Think about God. He planned in advance. He wants, what's the best, the beginning or the end? He wants the whole journey from the beginning. He planned from the beginning up to the end. Many times in our mind, we just want to reach our goal. We just want to get there. But it's not just about arriving there. It's about reaching your goal, getting the most out of the whole process. That's why God is having pleasure. That's why He's pleasing. It's not just the beginning or the end. It's the whole process that he enjoys. And ultimately, at the end, it brings Him joy and satisfaction. It's that joy and satisfaction along the way. So as you begin to plan, think about your why for camp. I want you to enjoy the whole process, the whole journey. Camp is not the end goal. Think about what we talked about. Go and speak to your friends. Make them excited about camp, just even if we only do the application process. But let's enjoy it, everyone. God will, and so can we. Good night.